I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, this Pope continues to disappoint. He gives you a little bit of hope, and then he kind of yanks it away. Now, the Church has terrible problems right now, and I'm of the belief that there are two things the Church absolutely has to do to solve the problem. One is to allow priests to marry, and two, to allow for the ordination of women, deacons, priests, and bishops. Until they do that, I don't think the Church is going to change, and I don't think things are going to get better. Now, the ordination of women deacons seems like the simplest thing, at least a baby step, perhaps. And it's certainly a big deal for a lot of people in the Church, but it is not a big deal for Pope Francis. In a recent presser with reporters, he did admit that women deacons in the early Church helped women and children who were baptized by immersion, which was done naked, and it was done back then in front of another woman. Of course, they don't do naked baptisms anymore. And it was also true that women in the Church, early Church deacons, they examined women victims of domestic violence for bruises as part of the process of seeking ecclesial dissolution of their marriages, which seems like a good thing. What we do know is that it is men in the Church who have been the perpetrators of most of the sex crimes. But here's what the Pope dithers about. He wonders whether these women deacons were sacramentally ordained like their male counterparts, or whether they were just women being helpful in situations that ordained men didn't really want to do. But religious historical experts point out that the liturgies for the ordination of women and men are pretty much the same. There isn't any real difference. But this is what the Pope worries about. Gee, maybe there really is a difference, and the Church never really legitimately ordained women. And in the National Catholic Reporter, they quote the Pope as saying, "I can't make a sacramental decree without a theological historical foundation." So basically he's saying, if it happened in the past, it's okay, but maybe it didn't happen in the past. He says, in the case of the diaconate, we have to see what was there at the beginning of Revelation. If there was something, let it grow, let it live. If there was not something, it doesn't work. This is the type of thinking that keeps the Church stuck in medieval thinking. If God decides that the Church can change, then the Church can change. And the Pope can make that decision. It's not like the Pope has God's voice rattling in his ear. He has to look into his heart and figure out what the best thing to do is. And for this Pope, women aren't all that important. He made his remarks to nuns on the topic of women's ordination. He said, "We are Catholics. If someone wants to make another church, they are free to do so." Are you saying, Pope, that if someone wants to make a less rapey church, they can make one? Maybe they should. Maybe they should walk away from you. And a lot of them are. A lot of them, people are walking away from the Catholic Church. It's in a crisis. If it doesn't change, it's not going to survive. There was a bright spot back at the beginning of this month when Pope Francis issued a groundbreaking law. It's a new law on reporting sexual abuse. And when I saw the headlines, I was going, finally! And then I got into the meat of it, and it's more bullshit from this Pope. So basically, all Catholic priests and nuns around the world are required to report clergy sexual abuse and cover-up by their superiors to church authorities. But church authorities are the people who've been doing the cover-up. No, they should be required to report it to the police every single time. Reporting it to superiors, that's a trivial step that should have happened a long time ago, but the problem is, they have been reporting it to superiors, and their superiors have been covering up the sexual abuse. This does nothing. Now, the new law provides whistleblower protections for anyone making a report. Woohoo! So now you can't get punished for making the report, but that doesn't mean that the person you're reporting on will ever be punished. So while they're trumpeting this as a big deal, it isn't really much of anything. Now maybe it could turn into something, but I'm beginning to lose my faith that this Pope will ever do anything substantive. We haven't seen it yet. All we've seen is promise after promise, and disappointment after disappointment. And it doesn't help when Pope Benedict, who they have completely whitewashed, but was the architect of the cover-up, now they praise him as the hero of the whole situation when he was actually the guy covering things up. Retired Pope Benedict has come out of retirement to publish an analysis on the Catholic Church's clergy sex abuse scandal. And of course, he gets it wrong. He says it's all the fault of the sexual revolution of the 1960s. One church historian referred to Benedict's essay as catastrophically irresponsible. And it is. It's bullshit. Catholic sexual child abuse did not begin in the 1960s, and it didn't, as Benedict seems to claim, begin with the appearance of sex films in his native Bavaria. I mean, don't forget, this is the first Nazi pope. So much of what I read now all kind of changes history, talks about what a hardliner he was, but that was out front, mostly things he was kind of forced to do. But according to victims, none of that's true. The victims have said that Pope Benedict was complicit in the child sex abuse scandals and knew more about clergy sex crimes than anyone else in the church, yet did little to protect children. That's what people were saying about him at the time. That's sort of been rewritten. But as one of the victims of the SNAP group said about him, we won't miss this pope. And to be fair, John Paul II was really the person who set up the culture of cover-up. But then Cardinal Ratzenberger, who was his guy, I was the guy who was made head of that cover-up. But it was Ratzinger who convinced Pope John Paul II to put him in charge of the congregation. Yes, Ratzinger did prosecute a number of people, but the church was in protection mode. And they were forced to do a lot of things they didn't want to do because stuff was coming out in the press. But here's the bottom line. As Pope, Benedict obstructed justice. He issued an order ensuring that the church's investigations into child sex abuse claims be carried out in secret. That letter asserted the church's right to hold its inquiries behind closed doors and keep the evidence confidential for up to 10 years after the victims reached adulthood, time enough for the statute of limitations to apply. This letter came from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. That was the office that Ratzinger, when he was Ratzinger, used to hold. And so by this time he knew more than anybody in the church about what was going on from holding that office. And yet, as Pope, he still said that the stuff should all be kept secret. That is not someone who's trying to protect children. That's someone who is trying to protect his church. So what he actually did was consolidate power to investigate within the church, and originally before he was Pope, within his own office that he controlled. So supposedly nobody in the Catholic Church, nobody knows more about the problem than Benedict, and yet he issues a letter like this. What Benedict tries to do is blame sex abuse on contemporary moral theologians who challenged the church's traditional natural law ethics. He made the claim that challenging the church's opposition to birth control opened the floodgates to all sorts of sexual sins, including child abuse. He also points to homosexual cliques and seminaries, and blaming them for opening up the way for child abuse. So he gets it all in, the gay bashing. He's a sad, delusioned old man. And I'm actually really sorry that they've been so effective at rewriting his past, making him the hero of child sexual abuse, when actually, just go back and look at the record, you'll see he was clearly the villain if you read contemporary reports of the time. So this Pope has been quite the disappointment when it comes to the issue of sexual abuse in the church. He completely disappoints when it comes to women's role in the church. And in early April, a group of more than 50 LGBTI rights activists met with a high-ranking Vatican official and renewed their calls for the Catholic Church to condemn laws that criminalize consensual same-sex sexual relations. But once again, the Pope disappointed. He backed out of the meeting and backed out of making a strong statement endorsing the decriminalization of homosexuality. That was such a small step by the church to make, and the Pope disappointed yet again. You know, with previous popes, you kind of knew where you stood. They were going to be terrible. This Pope made us hopeful that he would be better, and in some ways, he has been. But on these core issues where we thought, gee, maybe the Pope might come into the modern world just a tiny little bit and bring the church with him? That apparently ain't happening.